Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the show, we got FIFO 24/7, Nikki Duse.
What it do?
Oh, you ain't gonna do your thing?
Nah, I got
too many AKAs over
here. I gotta spread them out. It's a long season.
Mr. Asterisk Man himself, Shelton J.
What's happening? What's happening?
BZ430.
What up, though?
And the man from Any Given Sunday, we got Manny Brown. What's good, bro?
What's good, fellas? What's good, everybody?
What up, Manny?
What's up?
Chilling.
Hey, Ken, where can they find the Any Given Sunday podcast?
Hey, man, it's on the Dead End Podcast Network, man. Y'all check it out. He be having great guests on there and stuff like that. But, Manny, I'm going to hand it off to you so you can tell people where to find you, where to follow you, et cetera, et cetera. We do all that up front.
Yeah, man. Appreciate the invite as always. Any Given Sunday, it's available on the Dead End Podcast Network. We everywhere, man. On Twitter at AGS Pod, Instagram AGS Podcast. We're available anywhere where you can find podcasts. Apple, Google, Spotify, everywhere. Anywhere you can find podcasts on the internet, we're there. Check us out, man.
Cool. All right. Well, we're here to talk basketball. Maybe some college football stuff. I think of some things have been canceled. And baseball after the food, but I don't think we'll hit that. But anyway, we're going to jump into this thing. What you got, Nick?
The guy who's been probably the most talked about guy all weekend long, Dame Dollar. Mm. I feel like we got to start there, and I got to start off with this record-breaking stat that he just did, or he put himself into some really elite company as far as his last game where he scored over 50 points. He is now in the same company as LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kareem, AI, pretty much any big time scorer, any big time player the last 20 years, last 30 years. He's in that elite company now with 10 plus or more games with 50 plus points. What did y'all think? Is Dame Lillard the best point guard in the league? That's the question I got for y'all.
Yes.
As of right now.
As of today. I mean, people would tell you I've been praising Dame when you wasn't a believer, Nick. So you know, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, I've been
you
praising
know I'm a
Dame.
Believer now, B.
Nah.
Because he was on the team.
He got my homeboy.
I don't even want to hear it. Ken, if people would tell you, man, I've been praising Dame for a long, long time. So, I mean, yes, of course, yes. Right now, he's the best point guard in the league today.
Even after missing those two clutch free throws, B?
Yeah. Like I said in the chat, man, all the greats
have come down up black short. People, right?
All the greats came up short, man. Even Michael Jordan. All of them came up short before.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, like when I hear this question, I the thing that stands out to me in the question is point guard. And y'all already know I love Dame. Because what was it? A show or two ago, I was talking about that he would have been the best. He is the best Robin to LeBron's Batman. And y'all already know I would take Dame over Giannis Antetokounmpo right now today. Yeah. But if we're talking best point guard, huh?
I said, you crazy.
Nah, I'm not crazy. But
you don't like Giannis at all.
No, I do like Giannis. Just Giannis hasn't proven anything to me yet. and he's had ample opportunity to do it. And he's great, but
yes, man. Hey, we've been talking about Giannis. FIFO, we've been talking about Giannis for some years too. Remember?
Years.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's hard, and I love Dame, but we're talking point guard. It's hard to put him over for this season. CP3.
I knew you was gonna say that. Because I was thinking that too. I was like, you know, CP3. And I said in the chat, I was like, I know he's not gonna win, but I think CP3 should be considered MVP. He should be like
100
the consideration for MVP.
Yes, 100%.
Put his name in there, because
100%.
We all thought that OKC was dead in the water. When he went to OKC and Russell went to Houston and Paul George went to Clippers, we were like, damn, that's fucked up. CP3 getting did like that. Like, why they got him over to OKC out there to die? And look what's been going on this season. Look what he's took them boys to, man. So, yeah, I think alone that deserve an MVP consideration.
Yeah, because you take CP off of that squad, they are a top three team in terms of the draft.
Yes, easy.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to get a top lottery pick.
I don't know about that, man. And let me tell you why I say that. I honestly thought when that trade happened that they were going to move him again. I thought that they were in a great position. Okay, so he was in a great position without him on that squad. I ain't going to say that they were, you know, going to be as good as they were. I give him a lot of credit for that. But I did think when they traded away Russ, I was like, that's a good move for that team, because they got a nice core. They just got a nice group of players, man. They just needed him to kind of corral them and get them together. But them boys be hooping, man.
But here's the thing, though, like with the moves that OKC did, I agree with you, Shelton. I love the moves, but they weren't win now moves. It wasn't let's make the playoffs now moves. They were right. Setting themselves up again for the future. When you look at how many draft picks that and he's my damn GM.
What's his name? Shit.
Sam Presti. Hey, Ken. Ken, I be right. I know when I be right, and I'm right about Sam Presti. And the moves that Sam Presti did was to set up OKC for another James Harden, Russell Westbrook, KD type of run with drafting high in the draft. But the fact that CP got these guys and their progression expedited, because I knew that they were going to play good, but could they win games? And that's what CP has provided that squad. Is not only are we going to be competitive, because we are talented. OKC's talented, but young. But we see, like, with teams like Dallas, they don't know how to close out games. They're super talented. KP and Luka are arguably one of the best duos in the league, but they don't know how to close out games. And CP, honestly, when you look at that roster, is the only truly experienced player. So for a point guard to have that much influence, and y'all know how I feel about point guards, to be able to take a young roster like that, that's literally built for the future, but being able to win now, that's why, like, in that question, I hear point guard. That's the thing that stands out. And I love Dame, but I don't know if Dame could do what CP is doing in OKC, because he's a different type of point guard.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going on. The question, we started this whole conversation trying to praise Dame. And you just basically cut him off at the knee. Manny, I got to ask you a question. For one series, were they both in the Western Conference? So it's a Western Conference series. What point guard are you rolling with, Dame or CP3? For just the series, 7 games.
I'm rolling with Dame. With all due respect to CP3, I get what FIFO is going, and I for the most part, I agree. That being said, man, I think it's an insult to even say – to even ask, is Dame one of the best point guards in the league? I think the conversation is very limiting. To me, Dame is top 5 players in the NBA. I mean, that goes without saying at this point. I mean, Dame Lillard, I don't understand why this dude just, for whatever reason, just doesn't get the respect that other dudes get. Like, remember a couple years ago, like, there was actually a debate between Russell Westbrook and Dame Lillard as to who was better. Now that just feels foolish to me. Like, that is just like, how was that even a debate, like, even years ago, that Dame and Westbrook were even in the same wavelength? Dame Lillard is so good that it's just mind-boggling, man. I mean, it's just it's just the shots that he hits, the creativity, the offensive versatility that he has. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, he may not be the point guard that Chris Paul is. I mean, it depends on what you want your point guard to be. Do you want your point guard to solely be a facilitator first and score second, or do you want your point guard to kind of be an all-encompassing guy, kind of like Dame, where he just is a scoring machine but could also facilitate. I think because Dame scores the way that he scores at such a prolific level, that I think it kind of – people kind of overlook the fact that he's actually a really good point guard on top of that. So I think that people, when you hear point guard, they were like, oh, yeah, Dame's good, but he's just a scorer. No, I think his scoring sometimes overshadows his point guard ability, but I think he's incredible. I think right now he's absolutely the best point guard in the NBA. I don't think it's a debate.
So, man, you're overlooking Russell Westbrook. Like you said, you mentioned the man that I was thinking about. We're talking about a guy that came off a triple-double last year, averaging.
So that's all he did, though.
What do you mean that's all he did?
I'm just saying that's all he did, though.
What else do you have to do? He's the only one.
I mean, we saw what he looked like in the first round.
The problem with Westbrook, man, he's a very weird player to evaluate, because Westbrook can win you a game, he could also lose you a game. And that's the problem with Russell, and that's the debate that I've always had with Russell Westbrook fans, right? Like, of course, he's this incredible. Russell Westbrook might be one of the greatest athletes created from God, sculpted from God athletes to play in the NBA. Just his ability to leap, run. I mean, he's just incredible, right? But he's just a hard, like, you know who I compare Russell Westbrook to? Like, he's kind of like Eli Manning in the NFL, right? Like, sometimes you love Russell Westbrook, and then there's other days you're just like, Russ, did you have to make that pass? Did you have to take that shot? Like, I don't know.
Eli clutch, though. He got titles. He got hardware. I love Russ. I fuck with Russ.
Yeah, I was going to say Russ.
But when we're talking about – Manny, I like what you said to begin your point, but I'm going to take a little bit further. Russell Westbrook can win you a game, but he can lose you a series. As you can see what happened when they went against Portland, he can let shit get to his head. As you can see what happened when he goes against Utah, he let shit get to his head that fuck up the whole game plan, the whole chemistry.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put all of it on him, because he had PG and Melo during those times as well. But he's the best player on the court, so that responsibility has to fall on him.
So there's one word that I would describe Russell Westbrook like, and it's volatile. And I think perfect. Everything, defensively, yeah, offensively, interpersonal, he's just a very volatile player. And as a point guard, you need to be the most poised player on the court, because the ball is primarily in your hand. And that's why I love Russ. And I think it's going to take the right coach to be able to tame him in the moments. You don't want to tame him the whole game, because he wouldn't be Russell Westbrook. But in those moments where we can't go wild, you can't make it a one-on-one, because he's not the greatest shooter. He's very streaky. He launches like he is Dame, but he's not Dame. You know, so he needs to at times understand time, score, and possession. Mm-hmm. And the best thing for Russ at times is to get to the free throw line instead of taking that pull-up jumper that he hits at a very high clip. But we need a higher rate of conversion. So we need the foul. So go get us the and one, or get us the two free throws, right? And I think that at times Russell Westbrook just gets beside himself. And I think that that's what hurts him, because – at the end of the day, when you watch Russell Westbrook, he's not a true point guard. He's just the best athlete at a particular size, and you just want the ball in his hand because his usage rate and not even his efficiency, but he makes people around him better. You can't average, to Shelton's point, a triple-double and be like, well, what else do you want from him? You know what I'm saying? But I think with Russell, it comes down to the details, and he's not great at details. And because of that, you have to knock him off of the greatest point guard list. Now, he's top five point guards in the league, top 10 if you ask certain people, but he is great. It's just, I don't know, like, can he win? Can he win as being the best player on a team?
There's a recklessness to his game that I think limits his overall greatness, right? Like, there's just times where you just want to grab him, like, yo, instead of going 100 on every possession, every play, bring it down to 95, at least 90, right? But there's just like a recklessness to Russell Westbrook that I think has hurt him over his career. And that I think that's what KD was just kind of frustrated. Like, I think you love Russell Westbrook because of the heart and the energy and the toughness. And there's just that dog mentality that he brings every single night. But I think that same thing that makes him great also kind of makes him a liability. And I think that wears on people.
Yeah, it does. He's like... He's like the basketball version of the Hulk. when you really want him to be like
facts though, for real though.
You really want him to be like Thanos. You want to be able to control his power, but in a strategic way that gets the job done. But he's really just the Hulk. Sometimes the Hulk can save the day. Sometimes he can fuck the whole day up.
Right.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to bring it back to Dame, you just see a calm, a coolness, a collective, like, just calmness with Dame, right? Like, there's just that poise that just, like, that's what I love the most about Dame is just his attitude, man. Like, Dame just reminds me, to me, Dame is, like, old school player, man. Like, just his attitude, his demeanor, like, he's just a dude that gets on the court. He has the same competitive fire that I think Russell Westbrook has, but he just manifests it better.
I love Dame too. I think he's a great player. I just think, like I said, when you look at numbers, if I was not a basketball fan and I had a stat sheet placed in front of me, I'm gonna look at these things. And Russell is leading him in rebounds and assists and steals. So in saying that, it's hard for me to put somebody above somebody when they're equal in points and one is ahead in rebounds and assists and steals on a team with James Harden at that. So I still say, like I said, it's tough to beat a triple double. They've been but a couple of people who can say that they averaged that over their career. I mean, over a season. So
they faced each other last year in the playoffs. That's all you need to say, Shelton. What that point guard did against that other point guard, and one was waving goodbye, and the other one was going home. That's it. That's the end of the conversation.
Plus, I'll pose this question to you, Shelton. You got a game for your life. Like, your life is on the line right now. You want Dame with the ball, or do you want Russell Westbrook with the ball?
At the end of the game, you mean?
Just in general. Like, if I tell you right now, if you don't win this game, you die. Like, that's it. That's the conversation. You want Dame Lillard or do you want Russell Westbrook?
Hey, Manny,
I'm about to catch COVID or something.
I'm about to say, Manny, that's what they're doing in the bubble, right? You don't win this game.
Sports in 2020 is a live or die proposition right now. So, I mean, it ain't that far off.
Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, I'll take either one. I still think, I mean, Dame gets more credit, and deservedly so. Like you said, Nick, he did beat him last year, and he put him out. But you know, we'll see where it goes from here, as far as if Portland can make the playoffs, because they still ain't in yet. So we're giving this man a lot of credit, but
Shelton, he's
on the outside looking in.
Manny asked you a question. He asked you a question. You skating by or going on some other shit?
Nah,
he asked if you had one game. He ain't say either one. It's either Dame or Russ. We're going to get to the teams later.
You can take your pick. But what I'm saying is, hell, I'll take Russ right now.
I'm asking you.
Russ is already in. So it's Russ. Dame might not make it to the playoffs to make a shot. So from the way it looks right now, he's on the outside looking in that bubble. So we just got to see what happens. And like we talked about earlier, he choked in the game. And that game may cost them the ability to get in the playoffs. That was a big choke. That wasn't just a regular.
Choke is a little strong.
Call it what it is. A spade is a spade.
Yeah.
He choked, but it wasn't a costly choke.
Hey, Nick, when you're on the outside looking at the end of the playoffs, that could be the most costly missed free throws of his career. Mm-hmm.
That would have given them the lead, and you don't know how the rest of that game would have played out. That was a choke. It was a choke.
Go ahead, Shelton.
No, I was just going to say, and they may not make the playoffs because of that game.
I think of choke, I think of like Ken Anderson at the free throw line during Orlando Magic. You know what I'm saying? Nick Anderson, my bad. Nick Anderson. Yeah, so it's just like, those are like big moments like where you – there ain't nothing bigger than this right now. Dame has another day. Like,
you can choke. People choke in regular season. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, to me, he did choke, but it ain't that big of a choke.
No, but no, choking yes, is yes, choking. No, yes, it is, because that impacts them in their playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that is a big choke. I mean,
it's a big choke.
It is. Because here's the thing. It doesn't diminish how clutch Dame is.
It doesn't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you miss these two, and we're going to call a spade, and you choke. But shit, if there's 3 seconds on the clock, give me Dame over everybody. And I said that last time, too. Him and Kyrie, give me anybody in the NBA. All give right. me those two guys with the ball.
So while we're here then, and we were talking about the choke, was Pat Bev and, I guess, PG, were they in the right? Like, and what did you think about Dame's response?
No.
Let's, I think so. And the only reason I think so is that kind of stuff happens every day. The difference is we're in a bubble now. You think all them dudes ain't talking on the court? You know what I'm saying? Talking trash? That would be happening anyway. It's just we can hear everything. We can see everything. Everything is in a microcosm right now because ain't no fan. But, yeah, they do it. They do what they would always do. That's how they always talk to him. It's just the cameras picked it up this time because ain't nothing else to look at. So that's really the only difference. We've seen LeBron. Who was it that walked up?
Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas. That happens every day. Talking to people, you know you're going to choke. That happens all day long. You know, that's just basketball. Getting in somebody's head, talking trash, setting it up for the next game. I don't know if I would have done it, though. Not today. I don't think I would have done that today.
I would especially like considering nothing. The fact that he put you out. So
right.
Yeah,
right.
That's my biggest issue. You bring up the Clippers, man. The Clippers to me, like these dudes don't realize that they're still the Clippers until they win something. Like this organization has a lot of
Lakers
chattery
fan
people.
Is speaking, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead, man.
Facts, absolutely, absolutely. We hang championship banners up there, not selfies. Remember Ooh. That. This organization does a lot of talking for an organization at the end of the day that's still the Clippers. Like, what have they won? Kawhi won his championship where? Toronto. PG hasn't done anything yet with the Clippers as far as championship success. Like, this team just has this like aura about them, like, oh, we're the Clippers and everybody should just take notice. Like, really? Like, what have y'all done? As far as the whole choking conversation goes, I mean, I don't think it's yes, if you want to classify it as a choke, I guess you could classify it as a choke. I mean, he did come back the next night or two nights later and drop 51 and just continue that. I think you would classify it as a big choke, like had they lost that game against the Clippers and then they lose yesterday against Philly. And it just kind of like they lose two or three games in a row and then that just kills their whole momentum. And I think that you can look back at those free throws with a little bit more like, damn, he really did choke that. But I mean, if he choked in that game and then comes back and drops 51, like, man, that's a hell of a choke, I guess. They're still in the driver's seat, though. They're still in the driver's seat.
For me, well, no, they actually are not in the driver's seat. Memphis is.
They're only half game back from Memphis.
It don't matter. They back regardless. So the driver's seat is Memphis. It's Memphis's playoff spot to lose. But the reason why it was a choke for me is it's two free throws. If it was one, that's just a missed shot. That happens. But to miss two when you're clutch like that, that's a choke, especially as clutch as he is. That's the only reason I call it that.
And the thing too, Manny, is like when you're that great and that prolific of a scorer, that type of stuff, you take it out on your next opponent because mentally you already know, like, okay, I miss that. I hear all of all. He's not going to tell people that he hears all of the talking. Oh, no, you know, I'm just chill. I'm going to just play the next game, this, that, and the third. But deep down, that's eating at him, which is why he came back and did what he did. The greatest players do that.
And I think the fact that Paul George, of all people, like, dude, seriously, you, the dude that I sent packing yesterday, and Patrick Beverly, like, you should raise your hand to talk to me. Like, that's how Dame Lillard should be.
Bro, we're going to get to the Clippers. You're going to air your grievances about the Clippers.
I'm just saying, man.
Hey, Shelton, you were saying Memphis is the driver's seat in the eight. I think it's going to come down to Portland and Suns for the play-in.
I think so, too.
Yeah, Suns are playing some awesome ball.
How far back are the Suns?
The Suns are one game behind. They're half a game behind Portland and one game behind Memphis. And the way Memphis been playing and the way Suns been playing,
you might be right.
Portland and the Suns, I think, for that playing game.
You might be right.
Well, B, I got to ask you one question before we move off the Blazers. Do you think they have a legit shot to get to the finals this year? I mean, they were in the Western Conference Finals last year. Now they got a revamped offense, and most of their players are coming back from injury. And, of course, they got the most clutch player on the team, Carmelo. You know what I'm saying? So, like, so what their chances looking like, B?
Right now, the way the Lakers have been playing since we've been back in this bubble – I mean, the Blazers might have a shot. They definitely have a shot. The way Lakers defense been looking and the way how wishy-washy AD's been playing. I give Blazers a shot. I give them a little shot, man. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to win it all, but I definitely can see them shocking the world if they get in and play the Lakers, the way the Lakers has been playing. You know, usually we, like, I know people agree with me with this. Usually when Bron gets in playoff mode, you know, it's just like it's another Bron. But if Bron don't get into that playoff mode and Blazers coming that thing, like, look, if the worst thing you want to give a lower seeded team or a team that you feel that's inferior to you is confidence. If Blazers come in there and get confidence, like, yo, we could beat these motherfuckers. Like, let's go. They can pull off that upset against the Lakers. I mean, I can definitely see that the way Lakers been playing.
100%. And I think that in that series, the X factor is going to be your boy Carmelo, because we know what we're going to get from Dame.
And CJ.
What happened, B?
And CJ.
I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna go through the things. Okay. We know that Dame is gonna be Dame, and we know that when Dame is in the playoffs, he definitely takes it up a couple notches, not just one. That man got a couple levels in the playoffs, so we know what he's gonna bring. Like you said, B, LeBron is gonna bring that question mark. AD, what are you gonna do, bro? The spotlight is on you now, and we need you to be the most dominant player on that team, right? Can AD fit that billing? Because the Portland Trailblazers don't really have an answer for him either. Carmelo is going to have to be as clutch as he's been for the Portland Trailblazers to this point, right?
For his career, he's been clutch, by the way.
100%. But like in this last season with the Portland Trailblazers, he's been that X factor. And here's the thing, because I know how you think, Nick, and you think that I've been hating on Carmelo for forever.
You said he'll be out the league. That's not hate.
I did.
That's just disrespect, my nigga.
Well, I learned it from you, because you are Mr. Disrespect. However, and B can attest to this, me and B talk a lot about basketball. What's the one place I've always said that he needed to go to and he could play there? It's been Portland.
I thought you said Chicago at first.
No, like when he first could have hit free agency, I said Chicago would have been perfect for him. But the other place, once they got Dame and all of that, I always said Portland. It's on the record. Go back. I know when I'd be right, and I was right about that. But he is a perfect fit for them. So he just needs to do what he's been doing. They don't need extra. The person they need extra from is CJ McCollum, because at times CJ disappears. And at times he plays – outside, like outer body, but they need this guy to average 22, 23 plus in the playoffs. And what that means is that they need two games of 35 plus CJ, and they can only afford one game of a 17, 18 point CJ. So he needs to be in the mid 20s for that squad to really have an effect. And also the Lakers are one of the biggest teams in the playoffs. So Nurkic coming back,
he's their big, to me, he's their biggest X factor, because he hasn't been healthy even last year.
Exactly.
And he's balling right now.
Exactly. Yep. So can Nurkic be efficient against the Laker bigs? And to me, those are the two biggest question marks. Nurkic and the consistency of CJ McCollum. If those two guys can ball out, they can beat the Lakers.
In seven games.
I'm not saying they will beat, but they have the opportunity to be.
It'll have to go seven. They're going to win, but it's just, they have a chance. The way Lakers been playing, they have a chance. It's a chance.
I understand, but in seven games, what you're saying.
It has to go seven.
I think the X factor you're not considering is that, you know, the bubble. You know, there's no home court advantage. Realistically, it's just two teams going out there seeing who's best for seven games.
Yeah.
I think that's going to play a lot into these playoff series, man. The fact that, you know, you don't have that intangible aspect of having that home court advantage to travel, role players playing well on the road or playing well at home and not playing well on the road, you know, having all of these little intangibles that I think add to a playoff series, you're not going to have any of that this time around. I'm a Laker fan, and I am scared of Portland. I think they're not your typical eighth seed. I said it in the chat the other day. The only two teams that I truly fear in the Western Conference, to me, the Clippers and Portland. I just think Portland is not your prototypical eighth seed. This is a team, like you said, that went to the Western Conference Finals. You could argue from a talent perspective, they're probably better than that team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year. I know the record doesn't indicate that. They've had a lot of injuries. But, yeah, I'm with you, FIFO. I think Portland, to me, is a very dangerous team. And I think the Lakers, if they don't have them on notice, I think they should, because I think that team definitely presents a lot of matchup nightmares. And I think I think what you said about Carmelo is spot on, because I think the problem with Portland in a lot of years has been, you know, you kind of trap those two guards in the backcourt. They don't really have another guy that can make shots. Now you have that guy in Melo that is proven that he can go get a bucket when you need it. So I think Melo is a big X factor, and I think Nurkic is a huge X factor. Like, the way he's been playing in the bubble, I didn't even think he would come back as healthy as he's looked.
Me neither.
And then on top to come back and look be absolutely dominant, not just good, but dominant for them.
Whiteside is injured, right?
Yeah, is Whiteside injured? Because
he's been playing.
He's been playing. They just give him limited minutes because he's not offensively well-rounded. He's a good defensive anchor, but offensively well-rounded, I don't think he helps. I think they try to put him in. It don't work.
They're going to play. He's a matchup guy, right? Like, if
they place the Lakers, he's playing.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when you see Dwight. You see
Whiteside is a key too, because Whiteside is a guy that matches up well with AD, matches up well with Dwight. So
I don't think, from a skill perspective, but here's the thing though, right?
Like, don't hype up AD, bro.
I'm not hyping him up. I'm just stating fact. If AD sees Hassan on him, he's taking them away from the basket. Hassan can't do nothing. So
that's true.
If we're talking pure seven footer, of course. But if we're talking skill set and we're talking chess and checkers, that it is the coaching job. I'm bad with names.
Frank Vogel.
No, the Portland coach.
Oh, Terry Stotts.
Yeah, Terry Stotts. If I'm Terry Stotts, there's no way that I'm matching up Hassan Whiteside on AD. There's no way.
No.
There's no way. In rotation or this, that, and the third, that's one thing. But to be like, hey.
What Hassan, about Nurkic?
Nurkic, I would. He's a little bit more mobile.
I don't need Nurkic in foul trouble, though.
He's slow. And I'm not saying – look, and that's why I said AD is pivotal for the Lakers to beat the Portland Trailblazers, because really
to get out of the Western Conference period.
Because there is not a true matchup for him. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the West. So he has to take advantage every single time. And if I'm Portland, there's no one guy that I'm just saying, hey, go stop that guy, because they don't have that guy.
The Blazers have no shot at beating the Lakers.
The guy that y'all haven't mentioned that's on the Blazers that will be a huge lethal weapon for the Lake against the Lakers is because the Lakers have one of the worst defensive 3-point perimeter guys in the league, probably even in the bubble. Gary Trent Jr. over here shooting like at a fucking clip behind the arc.
What school he go to?
Regular season.
What school?
Oh no, you tell me.
You already know.
Nowhere.
You think they have zero chance?
No, I don't. To beat them in a series, to get a game or two, yeah. But a series, we talking about to win four out of seven? No.
You talking about a team that
this is one of those situations that we're in where everybody see this team and everybody falls in love with them. And they think that, oh, this could give this team this problem or this could get it. It's like, it's, no.
So you think there's no legitimacy to those arguments or those debates?
Absolutely not.
Okay, you're full.
Hold on, Cam. There's this dude in the chat named Darian Garcia. He thinks I'm high as hell, but I think he's high as hell. He says Dame is inconsistent. Do you agree with that? And is that part of the reason? Yeah, I don't know. Go in the chat because that shit crazy as
hell. Who mans is that?
I don't know. That ain't our man.
Yes, Dame can have his moments in the playoffs. Yes. CJ can have his moments in the playoffs. Yes. And Melo can definitely have his moments in the playoffs. Yes. When people are looking at this team, they're banking on all three of them to be playing together and that somehow, some way, Nurkic is going to turn into a king. It's not going to happen.
Ain't right. Nobody saying Nurkic is going to be a king.
No one is saying that.
Arvidas Sabonis.
Not even.
Rick Smith.
No.
Do you think Caruso don't shut down one of them? Or is a factor enough to take out one of – like, you? We're talking about three all-stars in our Hall of Fame.
And I think
– four games straight.
They don't – all right.
I think this is the series where they're going to miss Avery Bradley.
Yep. 100%.
And Rondo.
And Rondo.
100%.
Go ahead,
Shel.
I was just going to say, I just think that I agree with Ken because I think that the Lakers are on guard. They're paying attention to what's going on. They ain't no fool. So
unlike, then why they losing?
Because they're already in. They're locked up to one seed, and it's kind of like they clinched a little bit.
Facts.
LeBron set out the first couple first couple games after they clinched. So they kind of been just on coast mode until the playoffs start. Then that boy's gonna turn it on, and they're gonna do what they do. And I think that Dame and them are gonna give them good games. I don't think it's gonna be a bad series. I just don't think they can beat them four times. I don't. So,
Shelton, you said they're gonna turn on, do what they do. What happened with last year when LeBron said they turned it on? What did they do?
Well, last year they weren't in the playoffs last year, and that was a totally different team. Which I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not. But you know that was just.
I'm totally just saying, like, situation. Manny pointed out the Clippers haven't done squat to be talking all this shit. Period.
Right. Right.
The last time the Lakers won a title was another decade and with a whole nother roster with another superstar.
Correct.
So it's just like, what are we going off of when Ken talking about some, it ain't no question. Like, who the fuck are the Lakers?
Well, here's
LeBron.
Hey,
watch West. Your mouth, man.
It's LeBron.
Number one seed in the West. That's who they are.
I've seen number one seeds get taken out in the West easily.
You saw.
Not easily. Nick. What basketball is you watching?
I'm asking. They are the number one seed in the West. They're not your Vonnegut Clippers, as everybody predicted they would be. That's who they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fact. We can't ignore that.
So, Ken, let me ask you a question.
The Blazers have been trying to get to the playoffs all season long. And now all of a sudden they're supposed to be a threat. Come on, they are what they are.
But Ken,
the Blazers have always been a threat. They just had some injuries this year, man. And it's just that you can't underlook that. I'm not, as a Laker fan, I
who? But what kind of injuries to who? Because it's been a long season. It's been a while. So that's why I'm asking. I'm not.
CJ missed some time this year.
The big man has missed some times. Nurkic, the last 2 weeks.
He's been going all season.
Nurkic. Nurkic has been gone. I think even Dame sat out some games this year.
He did.
Like towards the end of before the pandemic hit, he sat out like a week.
Yeah, he had some games that he missed. Right. So they've had their multitude of injuries. Look, I'm not sitting here telling you right now as a Laker fan that bank it, Blazers is six. But I think you're underselling them if you're just saying they have no chance. Like they have no shot.
Nope.
Dallas has no shot to beat the Lakers in a series to me.
100%.
You know,
so here
OKC has no shot. Portland?
Look, we know this about the NBA playoffs, bubble, no bubble, just basketball in general. When I got to face you seven times, it comes down to matchups. And when we look at the matchups, the strength of the Portland Trail Blazers is the weakness of the Lakers.
Perimeter players.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Of that,
Vice versa. Like, who's going to guard LeBron?
No, 100%.
AD ain't a perimeter player, though.
Hold on. Are you listening to what I just said, Shelton, previously? I said AD is going to be a factor throughout the playoffs because nobody in the West has a guy that can guard that guy. So AD has to play at a superstar level. And we know LeBron is LeBron. The championship go through LeBron. I've already stated that, right? But at the end of the day, those are two guys out of five guys that are going to be on the court, right? And the Blazers have more matchup issues, right, that the Lakers have to defend then the Blazers have to defend against the Lakers. Again, I said Carmelo is going to be he should be an X factor because if LeBron don't guard him, he's going to abuse Caruso and we're going to put Danny Green too small. So who are you going to match up consistently against Carmelo, especially if he's going off? So I said he's an X factor.
Go ahead. No, that's right. I was going to say you said it right. He's the X factor.
He's an X factor. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying that he's going to be consistent and we rely on Carmelo. None of that. But
right.
Two or three games, that's Carmelo Anthony. I'm not being disrespectful. Dame Lillard. Who they going to put? I see people in the chat talk about Danny Green. Danny Green going to get cooked, bro. Danny Green does not have the lateral quick. They don't have another defender outside of Avery Bradley, which is – I'm glad Manny brought him up. They don't have another wing defender. Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith. Who's the other guy that they signed? It don't even matter. They don't have a guy for Dame. And we know that Dame, out of seven games, if they go seven games, Dame's going to bring it five.
LeBron is going to guard Dame. Just like he did D. Rose.
But that's not the same LeBron. LeBron don't have
I'm that saying he's going to have to. You just mentioned
that's advantage Portland. That's advantage Portland.
Why do you think I gave him a chance?
Exactly. That's why I'm saying Portland has a chance. I'm not saying they're going to win. Because LeBron and AD can overcome all of that. They're too damn great. But if you're saying that Portland has zero chance, then you're just being disrespectful.
Okay.
Moving on.
I agree.
The game that, Manny, you brought up the game against Philly with Dame went off for 50. Let's stick on the Sixers for a little minute.
They done.
Oh, man.
That trust same the process. Game, hashtag.
The same game that Dame went off 50, Joel Embiid got hurt, and I don't know how much time he's going to miss, but we already know Ben Simmons is out for the rest of the bubble.
And here's the thing. So Joel is out the previous game, this game, and the next game at minimum.
Do the Sixers need to trade Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons by next season?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, see, the problem with the Sixers is the problem when you anoint these teams too early. The problem with the Sixers were everybody was anointing them. They got next. Oh, hashtag trust the process, right? And they really hadn't done anything. They really hadn't put in the effort. They really hadn't gone through the war of building that team, right? They just kind of, they got, I mean, let's be fair, they kind of got lucky too. With picks and just being horrible and just non-competitive for what, half a decade.
That's not lucky. That's strategy. They told you what they were going to do and they did it. I don't understand.
It ain't hard to be shitty, Fivo.
Exactly. It was a strategy to get top picks.
And it's a strategy. It's a strategy, but the draft is still a crapshoot. You know, who knows? Who knows? So that in itself is luck.
They missed on Julius, they missed Erlins, but they hit on Fultz. Embiid.
They missed on Fultz.
They missed on Fultz too.
They missed on Evan Turner.
The thing about it was,
what you mean pre-process? Yeah. That's what they've been doing for the last decade.
No. Evan Turner wasn't part of the process.
Turner wasn't part of the process. That's fair, but that's true. But yeah, they missed on Fultz. They missed on Noel. They missed on Jaleel. Hurts to say that. But that being said, man, I think the Sixers – yeah, I know, man. It hurts to say that. The Sixers, man, there's just something missing with that franchise, man. There's just something missing with that team.
It's the coach.
I don't think – It's too easy to just say, oh, it's Brett Brown. Look, I'm not going to confuse Brett Brown with Red Auerbach. But that's just an easy cop-out argument, man. Where's the heat on the players, man? Ben Simmons in 4 years has not developed a jump shot? You mean to tell me that Ben Simmons in 4 years has developed an adequate jump shot? I'm not even asking you to come out there and be Klay Thompson.
Don't put the battery in my back, Manny. You preaching right now.
He doesn't take the jump shot in games, but he has one.
Oh, really? Where's he? Stop.
When's
the last time you seen that?
You're right, Ken.
These are just facts. I'm sorry. Yeah,
facts from what? And where is he showing? Where does he showcase this jump?
We've seen the clips. You've seen it too.
I'm talking about in the game.
No, but that's what I just said, though.
That's the thing.
Come on, man.
He don't take him in the game.
Exactly. So he ain't got a jump shot.
Yes. Come on, man. That makes no sense.
Look, we're not saying that the man is J.J. Redick, but the man, for some reason, is not confident enough to take it in the game. It does not mean that he's devoid of it. He just doesn't do it. And I don't understand why.
Thank you for mentioning that too, because J.J. Redick was a big piece of that puzzle for the 100. Sixers. Him being out means much more than what people think, because J.J. on that team, like, you know, I watched all 82 of their games. J.J., when he was on that team, man, he made those big shots. And that's really what they're missing. Ben didn't have to shoot because he had J.J. Now, you know what I'm saying, now that's a glaring hole to try to replace that with Richardson. Richardson's a streaky shooter, and it's not the same thing at all. Yeah, he is, and it's not the same thing. It would be a nice piece to add him, but you need J.J., man. Losing J.J. hurt. I hated to see J.J. go more than anybody. They could have took Butler. Jimmy Butler could have left. Anybody else could have left. Even Tobias Harris. I just wanted J.J. there in that core with that core too.
Covington also was a huge loss for them too.
He was
Covington did a lot of the dirty work.
He did the dirty work.
He brought an element of toughness to that team that I don't think they've ever really truly replaced.
But here's the thing about Robert Covington. They bought low and sold high. So I'm okay with that move. I think when you're building, especially in the NBA, when you're building the way that the Philadelphia 76ers are trying to build, it's about pieces of the puzzle. And J.J. Redick was a big piece of that puzzle because of the skill sets of their two best players. And I've said it consistently. Mm-hmm. I have been a proponent of saying they're going to make it work. And then as of recently, I have softened that stance. And I'm not saying that they have to trade one or the other, but they're not adding the pieces to make those two main pieces work. And I said the same thing years ago with the Lakers when they got Dwight Howard, Paul Gasol, and then they went to go get D'Antoni as the head coach. What the hell is you doing? The gumbo ain't going to taste right because the cook ain't cooking it right. You know what I'm saying? Brett Brown is part of the problem, but he's not the only issue. The bigger issue is the pieces don't fit. Ben right. Simmons is a point forward, a la Draymond Green, but a way bigger, faster, stronger. But, I'm not going to say
just better, a better player.
He's a better version of Draymond.
Yeah.
Right. And Joel Embiid is a new version of what a low post star is. He does post up. People want to see him doing more, but he leads the league in post up. So how much more do you want him to do, right? In terms of the rest of the squad, right, we see the blueprint in Golden State, right? And the reason why Draymond works and Draymond is able to play as many minutes and get all of the accolades is because they have a scoring point guard that can shoot. Ben Simmons needs a Mo Williams type point guard. He needs somebody that's just going to be unconscious, bro. You don't even need a handle the rock. Go over here and chill in the corner. I'll create the plays. They need another two guard or wingman that can space the floor, that can just chill and be on the ready. Joe Harris for the Brooklyn Nets, a guy like that. So
it's Elton Brand's fault.
I think
he's part of the biggest issue. Yeah.
He takes the biggest percentage of the blame. And here's the thing. And it hurts for me to say that because
he takes the biggest?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Him,
I'm
then
surprised
Brett Brown.
You said that.
I don't know about biggest.
Yeah.
Okay. It's between him and Brett Brown.
I'll ask the question.
He could have got rid of Brett Brown. And the fact that he brought in Al Horford, which broke up the chemistry.
One of the most puzzling moves in the offseason. Yeah, like, I still don't understand that move to the day.
To give him all that money, that just didn't make no sense to me. And like I said, like you said earlier, you know, Robert Covington and I can't think of the forward's name.
Dario Saric.
Saric, I don't think he should have broke that band up. I think if they had kept that group together just one more year, we'd have saw a little bit more. I think they were ready to turn the corner. I love Jimmy Butler. I just didn't think that he was the piece necessary to get them over the top. I didn't think he could do it.
Yeah, and I wasn't a fan of that move either. But I don't think they need to trade either one. I think start with the coach. And then if the coach comes in and have the same issues, then look to that next.
Well, I think, this is why I slightly disagree with you, Ken, is because the value of both of these players is still relatively high.
It'll be high next year too.
I'm not 100% sure about that because the proof is in the pudding. And we see that together they can't do something. So people aren't going to throw the house to get one of those guys. Right.
And on top of that, they got these injury bugs that don't help.
Exactly. So to me, I think you got to decide on a play style first and foremost. And that's why I'm giving a lot of the biggest percentage of the blame to Elton Brand. What are we going to do? We're going to be big man centric and play like Denver, or are we going to be point forward ish and play a faster pace? Because when you look at it, when Joel Embiid isn't in there and Ben Simmons plays, they play way faster. They up and down, rebound, push. Everybody goes space out. Ben Simmons trying to dunk or kick the ball out. And then when Ben Simmons isn't there and Joel Embiid is there, they're slow down, give the ball to Joel, let Joel do what he does. Joel is an underrated passer, and you run your offense through the center. But when they're both there, they conflict because Ben Simmons is unwilling to shoot. Regardless if you're going to make or miss, you got to keep the defense honest. And because of that, that's why they don't work. And I think that as the GM, it's a tough decision. I think it's one of the toughest decisions in the NBA as a GM. But you got to make the decision. What is our play style? And once you determine what your play style is, you can move one or the other and then get the adequate pieces to make sure that it works. I think if I'm Elton Brand, you know one of the teams that I'm calling? I'm calling OKC. I'm calling OKC. I'm seeing how many of them draft picks are available. I'm seeing if Shai Gilgeous is available. I need to see because with the Sixers, regardless of whoever you decide to go with, you're still going to need draft picks because you're not going to be able. And we've seen it. Philly is not a free agent destination, so they're not going to be able to buy their championship. They're still going to have to partly draft their championship.
The issue that I have with Philly, well, one of the many issues that I have with Philly also is that I think that Ben Simmons, and rightfully so, gets a lot of the blame. Brett Brown gets a lot of the blame. Where's the blame on Joel Embiid? He's the superstar. He's the process. And he hasn't answered the bell too, guys. Like, we got to keep it 100. Joel Embiid has not taken that next step. Joel Embiid is a once-in-a-generation type talent. I really, truly believe that. I think he's a talented individual, but he has not carried himself like a once in a generation type talent. He has not answered the bell. There's always some, to me, I feel like Joel Embiid is more concerned with being a character and being, you know, spicy on Twitter than being a great player. Like, there's just certain things about him that it just like, to me, when you he's worse at this level than Shaq was at a young age. Remember back in the day when Shaq, when people were always questioning mm-hmm. Shaq, like, was he trying to actually be a great player? Or was he just wanting to be a rap star in a movie and have a movie career? And it's kind of the same thing, but I think it's worse because I think Shaq just was just at a whole nother level than even Joel Embiid is. But Joel Embiid has a lot of that it's just like, dude, are you there all the time? Like, do you have the heart to want to be a great player? Do you have a heart to just want to carry this franchise on your back? He says it. He talks a good game, but I don't really believe it.
And that's why I'm glad you mentioned a young Shaq, because that's what I was thinking as far as his personality and his demeanor. But to me, I was going to ask you a question. That sounds like it's a coaching issue, because when Shaq got with a good to great coach, things happened and shit changed and he won titles. To Ken's point, I'm all about calling out executive boards and people at the higher ups when it comes to how the team is doing, because we always come at the players, but it's not always on the players. Brett Brown is a big issue, y'all. I don't think y'all really understand how much talent he's probably squandered, how many the pieces that we've talked about in Philly throughout the years. We don't know what they could have been or could have done. FIFA, you was fighting for Markel Fultz not to get traded, and now – It just seems like he's an afterthought now. So it's like, I feel like if they got a good to great coach, particularly, you know, my favorite coach to mention anytime we talk about a coaching hire is Mark Jackson. I think he would be great to mentor and get whatever the hell is out of Ben Simmons out of that, get him to shoot or whatever, get Joel Embiid in line, and then figure out the right rotation. Because obviously, again, he knows how to coach young talent, how to develop young talent. We've seen it. He helped create a dynasty in Golden State.
They're trying to win titles, though.
Yeah, and you know what, Nick? There's no coach that can get this rotation right because the pieces aren't right. So the rotation part about it is irrelevant because the pieces are not right for the both of these.
Well, I'm talking about a long term. I ain't talking about right now. I'm not saying they're going to win right now, but give him a Tom Thibodeau contract, 5 years, see what he could do in the first two. If they need a trade, they got a trade.
Right. I think that Elton Brand, being the guy that he is and the forward he is, he could be working with Joel Embiid too. I mean, he was a great forward. He was a great post player, period.
And he played center.
I don't see why he's not spending time with Joel Embiid. That would be my personal project. That's why I say he deserves some blame too. Also, trading away Landry Shamet. We don't mention that enough. But I think him under JJ, I'm back on that again. I'm sorry, y'all. But him under JJ, that was your next shooter. Landry Shamet was going to be nice. Now he's out there in that mix up with the Clippers. But that dude could stroke that thing. And I think he was about to come into his own if he had stayed in Philly.
100%.
And let's be real, man. The downfall of the Sixers were when my man was out here having burner accounts talking shit about people instead of GM in the franchise, bro. When old boy got caught and then lied about it. That was just it just started going downhill from there. It was just all downhill from there. They brought in Elton Brand. Elton Brand has done nothing but exasperate the situation even more. They just got a lot of pieces that just don't fit. They, you know, and also Philly tried to get too cute. They drafted Ben Simmons. Oh, he's a point guard. Instead of just saying he's a point forward, he's a power forward who can play point guard and can run an offensive set. No, he's a point guard. You know, we're just going to go out here and masquerade a 6'10 Ben Simmons as Chris Paul. And he wasn't that. They just tried to get too cute. And I think that now I think you're seeing the chickens come home to roost when it comes to come home to the Sixers.
Yeah.
And in spite of all that, there were a couple of bounces
away from
the damn finals.
That's true.
Not to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, Eastern Conference Finals.
But you know, Ken, and that just shows how great Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are, because obviously they carried that team to that point. But at the end of the day, it does not fit. It does not fit. And you know, here's the thing. I'm not saying that they don't fit. I'm just saying that what they have as in totality does not fit.
And I don't think they fit either.
I think it's an odd couple. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think you can make it work. You can make it work. And Manny, I love the fact that you brought up the, you know, when Ben Simmons was drafted, oh, he is the point guard. You know who else that was like too when he first got into the league? LeBron. Paul Silas started LeBron the first game at point guard. He said that he is the point guard. And what happened about five games in? Nah, he's not the point guard. He's a guy that has point guard ability, but it does not mean that you are the point guard. Because look, man, and y'all already know, I don't play point guard. Point guard, you have to be able to shoot at some level, mid-range out. And you don't have to be a deadly three-point shooter, but you have to have the ability, the threat. And the person I always bring up is Tony Parker. When Tony Parker first got into the league, the man that had no jump shot. All he did was that spin move and that floater in the lane. And he led all guards for like 2 or 3 years with points in the paint. But guess what? The San Antonio Spurs did not become the dominant juggernaut that they did until he could hit that pick and roll jump shot with Tim Duncan. And once he was able to hit that, there was no way that you were going to beat them. And I'm not saying, again, with Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons ain't got to be J.J. Redick. Ben Simmons ain't even got to be Josh Richardson. But Ben Simmons needs to take jumpers. There needs to be a pick-and-roll situation with him and Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid rolls to the basket instead of going to the three-point
line. Just be Rodney Stuckey. Just be something. just have some ability to put the ball in the hoop, man.
You know another player that Ben Simmons needs to look at? Blake freaking Griffin. Blake ain't come into the league being a three-point shooter or even a decent free-throw shooter. And over the last five seasons, we've seen, hey, you can't leave the man open. I'm not saying that we got to go run out here and defend him and face guard him at the three-point line. But if the ball gets a rotation and he's in that corner or wherever on the three-point line, he can make that shot now. He's not a liability on the free-throw line anymore. And that, to me, is the biggest reason why Joel and Ben Simmons don't work. So, again, either you get the pieces around and you get in Ben Simmons' head and Joel Embiid's head, Joel Embiid for leadership and maturity, Ben Simmons to just shoot the damn ball, or you make the decision and choose a play style.
Speaking on another player that possibly their development may be taking a step back, Zion. We know that they're out of
shit on Zion about this week.
I just want to have a conversation on Zion. Not more so about him.
So what negative things we're going to say about
Zion? It's not more about him, even though his health is a concern, but how the Pelicans are using him. I felt like the whole bubble was an excuse to get the Pelicans back into the playoff race and possibly, and I don't know if it's a coaching or
Redick pissed.
Who is it? Who's the blame? Is it the coach or is the higher ups? They just want to protect the talent. Like
Higher ups. Yep. Look, I talked about it on my last episode that I did. I get why everybody's mad at the Pelicans, but I also understand what the Pelicans are doing. The Pelicans look at it like, look, we got, again, there goes that phrase again, once in a generation type talent.
Yes.
Are we really going to expose this talent to possibly get injured or possibly set us back another 3, 4, 5 years? For what? To get destroyed in the first round by the Lakers? Like, what do we gain out of that? What do we gain out of that? Let's be real. The Pelicans should have never been invited to this bubble. Like, let's just be real. They should have never been. We know why the NBA did it. The NBA did it for money. Absolutely. So that's, but they never should have. This was going to be a successful year for the Pelicans if they came away knowing what they had in Brandon Ingram, knowing what they had in Lonzo Ball, and knowing what they had in Zion Williamson. I think to varying degrees, I think they succeeded in that. I think they, at least two of those three names, they know what they have. I think they know what they have in Brandon Ingram. Obviously, he's flourished into a star or a borderline star, a star in New Orleans. And then I think that they know what they have in Zion. Lonzo is a little bit more of a question mark. But that was the barometer. They got pigeonholed into this spot of being in contention because they got out to such a good start. You know, they played so hard, they played so well without Zion. And when Zion came and he was unleashed for those first couple games before the outbreak, that everybody kind of got this delusion that, like, oh yeah, the Pelicans are going to be a contender. They should have never been in this bubble. And I think that what the GM is doing, it's like, yo, what are we playing for? Are we playing for an eighth seed, or are we playing for a potential championship 2, 3, 4 years down the line? And if that's their philosophy, then I'm not sure I can blame them.
Yeah, I understand the business move, you know, of putting them in there because Zion is money. He moves the needle. But I agree with you. They never should have been there at all. And the organization blew this whole thing, you know, by being cowards and afraid to play Zion in the first couple of games. Regular minutes.
But let me ask you this, though, Ken. When you look at Zion physically right now,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to play that man 25, 30 minutes either.
Why?
Correct.
Because and Shannon Sharp said this like about a week ago. Because
he built like Johnny Bravo?
Shannon Sharp, have you seen Shannon Sharp? That man's still in Shannon Sharp still. Yeah. And Shannon Sharp has been, you know, in football locker rooms with 300-pound plus players. And you know when you see 300 pounds plus, because when Zion is in shape, he looked like he already 300, damn near 300. And now you could just, there's no definition. And he's still able, like athletically, he was touched by God, just like LeBron. But you don't want to put that type of stress and pressure on those joints of Zion when he already has so many issues and he's so young. And the future of this organization is so much on his shoulders. Because he is the guy that's going to put you over the top. From the business perspective in the NBA, we saw at the beginning of the year, how many prime time games did the Pelicans have? And them boys was a damn lottery team. And they had prime time games.
They had a lot of prime time games.
Zion missed that. They missed the money already with Zion. They can't not invite the Pelicans and Zion. That's a bet. At the end of the day, Ken, it's two-sided. There's a basketball side, but there's a business side. And I know you said that you understand the business side. If you truly understand it, there's no way that we cannot invite these guys. You have to. There's no other way around it.
I agree with Manny and Ken. They shouldn't have been. I mean, team-wise, they shouldn't have been there. But yeah, Business-wise, it makes completely sense that why Pelicans got invited there. But I don't
exactly. Basketball-wise, I agree with you. They shouldn't have been ready.
That wasn't about basketball. That was about money.
It's about money.
And box office, which Zion is. Zion playing means the world. But I'm disappointed in Zion. I'm disappointed in him because I felt like this restart, you know, they showed him in the gym and I was showing all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, now we get to really see what he can do a little bit. You know, of course, he's going to be raw still because he's raw. But at least he's in shape because they showed him cut up looking, working out. So I'm thinking we're going to get a different person. But we got that same body that we had from Duke. We got the same body we had from Spartan Day in high school. So
he looks worse.
Like, he does look worse than Duke. So it's kind of like, man, where's the progression? I could see if he was just your average everyday player. This is a person who the league is banking on being the next LeBron. LeBron, as far as carrying the league. And he just ain't showing it to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, I don't expect him to be doing, you know, I'm not saying he should be scoring 30 points, but the man should be averaging a double-double. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to get 10 rebounds in the game. And
look at his numbers, though. His numbers are.
Play him. Thank you, man.
His numbers are phenomenal. When you look at his per minute averages, like his numbers are incredible. Look, this is what bothers me, and I know people are going to say I'm a homer because he went to Duke. The problem with Zion is that everybody has an opinion, right? Like, oh, he should look like this, or his body size should be like this. Can we just probably come to the realization, like, he's never going to be in the LeBron physique. Like, he's probably always going to be this. This is what probably makes Zion Williamson what he is, what his greatness, his like FIFO said, touched by God. Like, the fact that a man that's 6'8 could be 300 pounds and is in and something like that, right? Whatever, 6'5, 6'6, whatever, to be 280, 290, whatever, That in itself is a gift from God. The fact that he could be as athletic, as dominant, as explosive as he is at that size, like, to me, I don't think you – why would you even tinker with that? Like, I know everybody's saying that his body doesn't look right and his body doesn't do this and his body – he's carrying too much weight for 6'5". But you know what? Maybe we just have to come to the realization that that is what Zion is going to be for his entire career. Like, that is what God blessed him with, that body.
Well,
like,
it's
not changing. But that's not – here's the thing with that, though. I agree with you. But if he was 280, I would take that right now. The fact that he's as big as he is, and I'm like you, I watched him. You know, I watched this kid in high school, even because I'm from the Carolinas. I'm from South Carolina, by the way. He's just too heavy, man. And yes, he's blessed by God, and he has God.
But who says he's? But how do we know he's too heavy? Who says that he's too heavy?
Watching him labor up and down the court. Watching him give out, you know what I'm saying? I'm watching this man lose his breath and not be able to handle it, not be able to rebound or go after loose balls because he's too tired. I can see it. I see it on him. I don't see the energy and the effort that he has in him. Like, we saw this player at Duke. Like I said, he's not even that person anymore. So he does have another gear. He got another level. And I'm not comparing him to anybody else. I'm comparing him to himself. I just feel like if he was a little lighter, if he was in better shape, let's even forget the little lighter part. If his cardio was on point, this man would average a double-double. His points are there. He scored 25 points the other day. But I watched those 7 rebounds. This man missed about 4 or 5 rebounds that he should have had. But he just didn't have the energy to get
to be fair, Shelton, to be fair, his whole entire season basically his whole entire calendar year from summer league last year to now, right, has been stop, start, stop, start.
Right.
Summer league. Played or got injured at the beginning, played that one. I think he played like that one game, then he got hurt, then they shut him down, right? Then misses the first 2 months of the season, plays, then COVID happens. Then he goes into then the NBA restart happens, then he has a quote unquote family issue, then he leaves a bubble, then they got a quarantine. It's just been this like constant stop and start.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's fair. So I don't think it's fair to evaluate Zion in like, oh, he's not in shape when the conditions to get him in shape haven't been there.
And the only thing I say about that is this is Zion. And when you have a player of Zion's caliber, just like on any sport or any level, if you're a number one player like that, like you're a top tier, you're an A-lister, you set the tone, which means everybody, including the NBA themselves, should be saying, hey, bro, we need to get you together because you my moneymaker. That's all on them. That's on everybody. He should have been, even during quarantine, somebody should have been at that man's house training him every day. Something, you know what I'm saying? I think he's more than just a basketball player. He's not your typical player. He's one of the top 5 most important people in the game right now. I'm not saying best player, none of that stuff. I'm just saying as far as the league is concerned and what he means value-wise to the NBA, he's top 5. Take care of those guys need to be taken care of. Him, LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Those people who we mentioned, those guys, they should be on another level. And there's no excuse for him to not be in shape. Other than the fact, now if he's hurt.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, that's one thing. But Manny, and Shelton, you said something too. Like, here's my take on Zion. And Manny, I agree with you. When you are a top-level athlete, stop, start. That, like, you can't get any rhythm. Sports is all about rhythm, physical, mental, sport, in-game rhythm. It, like your whole thing, it's about when you wake up, what you're eating, your route, your practice, everything is about a rhythm. And Zion has not had that rhythm to start his career. But I don't have to be a nutritionist or a damn doctor to understand that he is not in basketball shape. And for very valid reasons, right? The stop, start. This, that, and the third, whatever.
He's naturally big.
And I agree with the fact that he doesn't have to look like any particular person to be great, right? Like, he doesn't have to look like LeBron to be as great or better or even worse than LeBron. Because we've seen players like James Harden doesn't always look like in the best physicals. He's not cut up. Mm-hmm. Carmelo, right. One of your best or one of your favorite players, Nick, and he was one of my favorite players too. Like, he never looked like the most physically dominant guy. But those guys were in enough shape to dominate basketball. And right. Zion, to the naked eye, you don't even have to be a basketball fan to see that he cannot give maximum effort. And maximum effort doesn't mean that you have to be in maximum shape. It means that you need to be in the best basketball shape that you can be in. And he's not even in that for obvious reasons, but for some unobvious reasons as well. First and foremost, whatever the diet is needs to be tweaked. Because I could look at – he looked like me, bro. I ain't never played in the NBA. You see this right here? Every day I say I'm going to work on this. But they ain't paying me millions to go run up and down a court. You know what I'm saying? They're paying him. He is signed to Jordan Brand. You are going to be – him and Luka are the face of the Jordan Brand now. There are expectations that come with being the number one pick. There are expectations when you are touched by God to maximize what – he has given you. When we look at LeBron, and the reason why LeBron in year 17 can still do what he does is because he invests into what God gave him. And what I'm saying with Zion, it does not seem that the priority is investing into the body. And again, I'll give him some leeway because I understand all that. And I'm not saying that this year that he needs to look and do this. Okay, we get it. Pandemic, this, that, whatever. Okay. But coming up next year, body needs to look better. I'm not saying he got to go look like LeBron. I'm not saying he even got to look like KD. He ain't got to look like Kawhi or PG or none of these other guys. He need to look like the best version of Zion. We don't know what that is because we have not seen it. And I think it's crazy to see, like you mentioned, Manny, his per minute stats. And you're not even at 100% of your own self. He has to get, and we don't know what that looks like, but he has to get to 100% of what Zion Williamson can do physically. And once he does that, then we can truly evaluate him. But I know this, he is box office. When you watch him, even at this weight, some of the stuff he's able to do, it's like, amazing. Bro,
right.
It's ridiculous. You know, but you got to be able to, even when you have that much more than everybody else, you still got to maximize it, because you know what? It doesn't last forever, but you got to be able to prolong it. And if you don't maximize it, he's going to be a great player for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then he's going to flame out. Instead of being a guy in the LeBron category, 17 years, we're still talking about he an MVP.
And that, for me, it's just more about I was critical of Zion earlier. I've changed focus now as far as like he is a really talented, best player in the draft-ish. You can go John Morant, but yeah, best player in the draft. But my thing is, like, when I hear people talk about him and be like, bro, this is just who he is. This is his way. Like, he's already gotten this far that already. I'm like, what other rookie throughout NBA history or just young player in general do we say he good for what he is right now? Let him do him. Or, like, he don't need to improve on, in a certain area that we clearly all see from my eyes, FIFA eyes, Shelton, and a lot of other media pundits. That he, the weight is an issue. If Shannon Sharp, who's the, you know what I'm saying, most physically – at his age, best shape of his life, can say, and who's been in multiple locker rooms, to say, like, bro, this dude need to get it together. Like, we've seen this happen with Charles Barkley. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where weight can right. be an issue as far as gameplay. So,
right.
to tell a young guy just to cut his weight because we know his potential, I don't think that's too much to ask. You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
It's not too much to ask, but I do feel like the weight thing has become almost too much of the conversation now. Like, it's become like every day. It's just like I'm surprised I don't have somebody trying to get into the bubble kitchen to see what Zion's eating for breakfast. Like, just to try to report that on TMZ. Like enough. Like, I don't think we've ever seen a rookie that came into the league where like the constant focus has been body. What's your body look like? Why does his body don't look like it's game 25? Why does his body don't look like this? Like, it's too much. Like, he's a rookie. He's still 19, 20 years old. I mean, he's still a baby. Still a baby. I mean, he's probably still carrying on that baby fat. Now you want to bring this up year 3, year 4, when he's 23, 24. Okay, why hasn't this changed? We still see this as a problem. Okay. Granted, but in year one, and he's had these stops and starts. That's my issue. That I feel like the weight has become too much of a thing. Where it's become too much of a narrative that people want to assign to.
I agree 100%. It's the same title thing every time. Like, we never talk. It's like we never rarely ever talk about his game. It's about his weight. And it's just like, all right, we get it. Like, we got to give this guy time. Like, it's a bunch of conjecture, a bunch of speculation, a bunch of guesses. It's like, all right, man, we understand it now. The stops and starts is always the weight and not the circumstances. The organization not letting him play. Him going away from family and not, like, having a chance to practice and get into game shape. those sort of things. Like it's never.
But you know how you quiet all the pundits? Get into shape, be the best version of you, and go out here and dominate the way that that's everybody it. Knows that you
but
can
if
dominate.
But like the man put up 25-7. Like he's playing well, and we're talking about his way.
But you understand though, he put up 25-7 looking like this when he should be putting up 50-25. Because that is what Zion can do.
And so that's what Chamberlain numbers. Hold on.
Because Manny brought up the per minute numbers. When you look at per 36 and what Zion is actually doing, he could put up wheelchair. And I'm not saying he's gonna average that. I'm not saying he's gonna average 50-25. But Zion has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
Month.
I was gonna say,
we just spent like 10 minutes talking about his weight and his body.
Because that's a hindrance to his greatness. It's a narrative.
Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? He's done all this stuff, and all season long, people have talked about his weight.
Because you guys,
Shelton and FIFO, spent here all this time arguing with Nick about how dominant he was, how dominant he is. With all of this. And we just spent all this time talking about his fucking weight.
Because it's an issue.
It's not an issue.
It is an issue.
Yes, it is.
It's an issue, but it's an issue that's been blown so over the top and out of proportion that now it's almost gone out of...
Before you go, hold on. So let me pose this question. So do you think we're getting the best version of Zion at this weight?
I don't know. I'm not an expert to say that I know that we're getting the best version out of Zion. I'm not saying you're wrong, FIFO. All I'm saying is I don't know. I don't.
And like I started, I don't got to be no nutritionist or doctor to know that if you're lighter, you're quicker, you're more explosive, you have better stamina.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
That's what I was going to say. The couple things that I say, the only reason I mentioned his weight now more so than ever is the last game was a microcosm of him being out of shape and how it affected everything that they're trying to do. They were staying hanging in that game and they had a chance to come back and win it, but he was gassed. You could tell he was gassed. And once again, I saw him watch them lobby the ball over his head, rebounding above him, which that ain't Zion. That ain't who he is. I mean, yeah, he had 7 rebounds, but 7 rebounds from him to me is like, that's like nothing. This guy should average a double-double. That's what I'm looking at more than anything else. And yeah, he's a rookie, but to whom much is given, much is expected. This is not – they're not looking at him like the typical rookie. He's supposed to be the heir apparent to LeBron. And I don't mean – once again, he's not going to play like LeBron, but he is the heir apparent. So I expect this guy to average a double-double right now. He has that skill set. If he didn't have the talent to do it, I wouldn't be saying it.
He's in year one in a stop and start. I mean, how many games has officially – how many games has he played?
Probably 20, 35.
I mean, so essentially we're grading him on a curve of 30, let's say 40 games. 40 right. games in a stop and start season where you have a global pandemic to lights of which we've never seen in our lifetimes. Like how do you know that in all these months that we were basically quarantined, he couldn't go to a gym? Now I know what people will say, oh, he's a rich NBA athlete. He could probably hire a trainer. Sure. But there's nothing like being in quote unquote game shape, like actually going out there and playing basketball, getting that under your feet every single day. There's nothing like it. And I just think the problem I think with Zion is that he's such a unicorn. He's this thing that we've never seen before. He's an alien, literally. I know people call LeBron an alien, but Zion is literally an alien. We've seen nothing like him before that I think he was just dropped on the NBA world and people don't know what to do with it. They don't know what language he speaks. They don't know what he should eat. They don't like he's basically fucking ET. Like we don't know what to do with this thing. So everybody's offering conjecture like Shannon Sharpe. Like I respect that Shannon Sharpe is this guy in his 50s that's in great shape, but he's also a football player. For him to sit there and try to, you know, to try to dissect. Well, he should be body types are different. You know what I'm saying? You can't compare a football player in his shape to a basketball player's shape, like, or a baseball player, a hockey player. They're just the training, the regiment, the discipline, everything is just different. So I think that everybody's offering these theories and these conjectures and nobody really knows, like nobody knows. That's my point.
Moving on to someone we do know or someone we should know, Devin Booker. I think Manny, you mentioned earlier, the Suns, I just look at the, they 6-0 since the bubble has started. They're
D buckets.
They are on the heels.
They're gonna have to start listening to us about Devin Booker, man. They
years ago, we was talking about this is the guy.
This is
why y'all always get out of that though.
They just like tags. That's the duo.
I never really say it.
I always wanted that too.
You know what I'm saying? Is it proof is in the
pudding? Y'all just talked about it more among.
You know what I'm saying? We just look. Me and FIFA.
Show my nigga Kid some love.
I just wasn't around.
No, because Ken can attest to this. Ken knows that I've been. You know,
you're just a secondary source sharing with the problems.
But you say.
I would say, y'all leave my nigga Ken out like, yeah, been here.
Man, I let him shine.
Nah. I mean, because Ken know. I mean, Ken would know. Like, I've been high on Devin Booker for a while, man. It's just, I hope we get a chance to see playoff Dev Booker, or at least kind of have a play-in game where he can kind of display his skills to the world, because, you know, he's been with the Phoenix squad that been barely winning, you know, 20, 30-something games, not going to the playoffs, so we haven't been able to see Dev Booker. So I'm glad. Now, with all the eyes on the NBA, Devin Booker is balling out. And it's like, well, he's been doing that. It's just the fact that they've just been losing. So, yeah. Well, and low-key, Ayton is looking to be a good, you know, panning out to be a good big fella for them too, man.
Like, I said that too. So, yeah, yo, I want to give a shout out.
Ken was high on Ayton. Ken was very high on Ayton. He saw him. He saw the great.
He said, "Yo, what your scraps, bitch?"
Oh, no. Go ahead, FIFO. Go ahead.
He ain't going to give him credit for Booker, but he's going to give him credit for Ayton. Okay.
Yeah, I gave him, because Ken was definitely, Ken was preaching Ayton. When Ken was like, "Yo, man, Ayton, that dude, I see some special in that kid." So, yeah, he's looking, he's panning out that way. What was you about to say, FIFO?
I just want to give a shout out to QGNR in the chat. He said, yeah. Beige Kobe. I agree. And you know what? I think he has more to
come on, bro. It's in the same calendar year, bro. It's too soon, bro. It's too soon.
We'll be back after this quick break.
I don't mind you talking to the chat, but don't be speaking bullshit on this show.
I didn't say that. I'm saying that.
I understand. Don't repeat it, nigga. Leave it there.
Don't repeat it.
Don't repeat that one.
Yeah, like he said something great. Like, nigga, nah, leave that in there.
We gotta slow the roll on that.
Hold the fuck on, because Kobe is one of Devin Booker's mentors.
That's fine.
And when Kobe, did you see the game he put up? Also, did you see Trae Young? Like Kobe was mentoring a lot of young guys in the league.
That's fine.
And when you look at the Mamba mentality and who it's permeated. Devin Booker's one of those guys.
Okay.
And we're starting, like, to B's point, now that the spotlight is just on this bubble, we're seeing that. And I'm not calling the man Kobe. I'm not saying
he's
Kobe.
He said he was beige Kobe.
I'm saying he's a descendant of Kobe. He's from the Kobe lineage.
He a bastard child. Let's slow that down, man.
Like, I ain't trying to call him that, but I'm going to call him beige Kobe. What does that mean? Hey, what does that mean?
What I mean is he got Mamba mentality. What I mean is that man ain't scared of nobody. What I mean is that when the game is on the line, he gonna take that shot. He don't care about Kobe.
The only thing with that,
he's gonna be, this generation, beige Kobe.
FIFO, the only thing the reason why I wouldn't, because he doesn't play defense like Kobe.
No, he don't.
If he's on that elite level of defender as like Kobe was, you know, but
still. But Kobe not like, a slouch, though.
Can we win a first round series first?
That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's the first round.
Kobe airballed two balls in the playoffs, too,
right,
bro.
All I'm saying is it takes time to become a legend. This is why we don't mention Devin Booker.
It takes time to become a legend, and all I'm saying is Devin Booker is on the path to greatness. That's all I'm saying.
You can say that. But beige Kobe? Beige
Kobe? He'll get there.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we don't mention Devin Booker that much on the show, because FIFA start hollering. Come on, bro.
Can we?
You more Kobe beef than Kobe Bryant.
Not at all. What I'm saying is this. If we're naming like top players under 25, Devin Booker's in the top two.
No, look, absolutely. Look, I mean, you're just saying shit right now.
Where y'all rank them in shooting guards? It's the top shooting guards in the league. Where y'all rank them?
Top three.
Yeah. I think he's behind James Harden.
So yeah, James Harden, then Dev Booker.
Yep.
Y'all forgetting Clay.
Somebody better.
Clay?
I put, I rate Booker over Clay. I've always ranked.
What? Yep. Me and B agree on that.
Yeah.
Manny,
this is why I don't bring up Devin Booker. Manny, because they start hollering about this other goofy shit.
Hey, Manny, nah, bro. Manny, Clay doesn't get separation like Booker does.
Nope.
The man scored 60 points. The man scored 60 points in an NBA in a four quarter NBA game.
Booker scored 70. Booker scored 70. Something. What else you got?
Oh my God, man! Three championships. All world defender.
Look at his supporting cast. He playing with
game six in Oklahoma City in 2016.
Look
when the Warriors did
do that.
If you put Clay on that same Phoenix Suns team, we'd be saying the same thing about Clay. Clay ain't got no playoff. Clay ain't got shit.
You gotta take it at home.
I'm talking about as far as game. Booker's game is better than Clay's. His whole
I don't know.
What you drinking on?
Hold on. Manny, I'm gonna target you. Let me ask you this. Who's a better passer, Booker or Klay Thompson?
Booker.
Who's a better dribbler at a basketball, Booker or Klay Thompson?
You better not say
Booker.
Klay. Yeah.
Booker.
Who generates their who's better off the dribble, Booker or Klay Thompson?
Booker.
Okay.
Does that make him better? Does that make him
the only thing that Clay got on Devin Booker is defense. That's the only thing.
Defense, better shooter,
shooting.
Intangibles.
Shooter, you know that.
Intangibles.
You know that. Hold on. Klay Thompson's a better catch and shooter.
Oh my God. I'm out, dog.
Come on now.
I let you slide on the beige Kobe comment.
I gotta go to B. You know that there's a difference in shooting.
Yep.
Catch and shooting, shooting off the dribble.
Booker can do both of it.
Exactly. Klay Thompson's not an off the dribble shooter.
Not off the dribble shooter.
At all.
No. It's games where Klay only take not even one dribble.
Booker
he's a
ain't there
shooter.
Yet, bro.
That's all he does. He's a catch.
He's not Klay, bro. He's not Klay. Klay is so underrated.
Manny, he is underrated.
But I'm still taking Dev Booker over Klay. Skill for skill, I'm taking Dev Booker over Klay.
100
over Klay.
All I'm saying, my issue with Devin Booker, and I'll admit,
Devin Booker would have those rings too if you swap both of them. Yep. Devin Booker would get those rings too.
Okay, that's a fair discussion to make, I guess. But my thing is like with Devin Booker, right? I've been slow to the Devin Booker train because I always wonder with Devin Booker. Yeah, he puts up numbers, but is he one of these guys that puts up numbers on these like terrible teams? I like Kevin Love. Exactly. Right. So now we're seeing him produce in what we would call big games, a big situation. And I'm glad that it's coming to light. Like the dude can ball. I'm not saying Devin Booker, but can he win a first round series before we start anointing him beige Kobe, before we start putting him on that pantheon with Klay Thompson? I'd be like, win a first round series, my guy. Like just win. I'm not even asking
to the playoffs.
I was being nice. Get to the playoffs, but win a first round series. Then we can have that discussion about.
Ken, what you got to say? What you got to say, Ken?
Nah, I'm gonna let Manny finish.
That's all I'm saying. Just win a first round series before we can. Before we start calling him beige Kobe. Beige Kobe. Beige Kobe. Come on.
First of all, go ahead, my brother. Get it out.
No, I'm just saying. Shout out to the guy that made the comment in the chat. Thank you for the support, all that. But beige Kobe, come on, man.
It's the same calendar year. Too soon.
Come on, man.
Both of you know basketball, and both of you know those Suns teams were terrible.
Absolutely.
How the hell can you judge him on not making the playoffs if those teams were in there?
We're not judging. I'm not judging him based off of. Where he's been at. I'm judging him based off of where people are trying to annoy him, like you, like B, like you. I agree with Manny. He is a great basketball player. But before we start moving him up the ranks, you got to start producing.
My point is, second best shooting guard in the league. My point is, you can't hold that against them if those teams are not great. We've seen Kobe not get to the playoffs with a team as bad as the Suns have had.
Yes. Facts, Manny. Facts.
So are you really comparing him to Kobe?
But we're giving him credit.
This is after he's won championships.
I'm just saying, are y'all really trying to compare Kobe, him and Kobe?
I'm saying that for you guys to say that, can you get to the playoffs? Can you win a championship game first? What I'm saying is that we've seen Kobe after winning championships with a bad team like Devin Booker has had not make the playoffs.
So you're comparing him to Kobe as far as his career so far?
I'm saying that you guys can't hold
I'm just asking the point.
And I'm saying you guys can't hold that against me. Okay. Can I, right?
Yep. I'm just trying to get clarification.
I'm not going to hold that against him, let me say this. I'm not going to hold it against him, but let me say this. Klay Thompson is a two-way player. That says it all for me.
Elite.
He plays on both ends of the court. An elite two-way player at that. You're talking about an all-defensive player. So until he makes one of those first teams, we can't. He's an all-NBA player, you know, former all-NBA player.
And what year is Devin Booker in? What year?
It don't matter. He ain't there yet.
No, it 100% matters. Because Klay Thompson wasn't Klay Thompson until about year five or six.
What year is Devin Booker?
Like three or four.
I'm about to look it up right now.
So you think Devin Booker by year five is going to be on the all-defensive team?
I don't think Devin Booker is ever going to be the defender that Klay Thompson is. I'll give you
that. And that's the problem right there.
No, but here's the thing. But Devin Booker's offensive game is so great that to me, it makes up for how much better Klay Thompson is defensively. Devin Booker offensively has zero weakness. Zero weakness.
This Booker's fourth season.
Fourth season. This man has obviously 3-point range, mid range, off the dribble, catch and shoot, playmaking. He had everything that Klay does not have offensively. Booker has in abundance. In abundance, Klay Thompson is a catch and shooter.
In abundance.
In abundance.
You know what abundance means?
Way more, nigga. Way the fuck more. Devin Booker got way more outside of catching shooting offensively.
What are you drinking, kid? Is that
way more.
That gotta be something. I don't know.
Way more.
I will say this though. If they were an 8 seed, they played the Lakers.
Right, bro, no.
They might be a problem.
Right.
Oh, my God, man. I'm done.
Why not? Because the Suns are not as complete as the Portland Trailblazers.
They got a guy that can play inside. They got Devin Booker.
Who else they got? Good going.
Yeah, they got it. Miles Bridges. They got this dude named Johnson.
All right, y'all. Look, Ken, realistically, outside of Devin, because Devin Booker, to me, in my opinion, is establishing himself in the NBA, right? He is and that's the only player. Like, who's their point guard? Ricky Rubio?
Ricky Rubio.
Is a decent point guard in the NBA.
They got Sarri.
DeAndre Ayton is still establishing who he is in the NBA. They don't got nobody else, bro. And I love the lefty from Washington, Kelly Oubre. But is he?
He's hurt.
He's not even playing right now.
Right knee.
You know what I'm saying? So they don't have the requisite pieces to even push the Lakers. Now, granted, I think Devin Booker will go crazy. I think he'll average 30 some plus against because they're not going to be able to stop him.
But you got
to
get the brooms out.
100%. 100%. If the Suns made it, they'll be lucky if they won one game, bro. Okay. They're not ready for that.
Well, B, I wanted to ask you a question because I think you. Memphis has now lost enough games to where now the 8-9 type of – the bubble has that little play-in game series with the 8th and 9th seed because the Eastern Conference, they already got their seeds locked up, so that doesn't worry about them. But for that 8th and 9th
– I hope we get that Miami and Indiana series too with TJ versus Butler. I hope we get that in the East.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely dope too. But who do you think as far as between the four teams – it's Portland, Memphis, San Antonio, and Phoenix. Who would you like to see in that 8-9 – play-in series?
Portland and Suns. I thought my two favorite players I like watching right now is Dame and Dev Booker. So I want to see Portland. I want to see Portland and Phoenix. That's what I want to see. I want to see that. Even though I fuck with Morant though. I do. I would like to see him in his rookie season make it to the playoffs, but they just not playing good basketball right now.
I think he out for the season. I mean, for the bubble.
Who?
Jackson. Yeah.
Who?
Uh-huh. Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, I think.
That's what I'm saying. So right now, I think Suns and Blazers would definitely be more exciting to watch for as far as that playing game, in my opinion.
What about the rest of y'all?
I agree with you. Because I think DeAndre Ayton, like I said, he's establishing. We all know Devin Booker. But DeAndre Ayton is establishing himself. I think this will be a good coming out party for him or an opportunity to bury him and be like, what the hell the Phoenix Suns are doing. Even though I like DeAndre Ayton, but this will be his opportunity against one of the best players in the NBA to show why he belongs.
Yeah, I'm with FIFO and and be on that one. I think if you asked me this question before the bubble, I would have said Memphis, Portland. But I think now, I think Phoenix is rising. I think they're taking advantage of the situation. So I think definitely Phoenix, Portland. And it'll be entertaining. You're seeing Dame versus with Booker. You get to see Booker on the big stage with the lights on bright to see how this greatness truly flourishes. So we'll see. But right now I would say Portland and Phoenix.
That would be nice to see, but it's probably going to be Portland and Memphis. And I want Portland in there just so we can see what we talked about and see if it's a shot for them to beat the Lakers at all, which I don't think so. I'd love to see Dame there. I mean, I'd love to see Devin Booker make it just because it's exciting basketball and watch them play is good basketball, but I just don't think they will.
Yeah. I'm with pretty much the group. Memphis, I like Ja a lot. And of course, you know, the Suns, Booker, so he can finally be anointed as the beige Kobe since he made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you for the majority of y'all. I think Phoenix and Portland would be a dope series. But I will say that San Antonio, we can't leave them out. They're right there that no one's talking about them. I know they ain't got nobody, but they still Pop. Right there. They just got
Popovich, the best player.
He really is.
We got to acknowledge them. There's some San Antonio fan probably doing an Arsenio Hall right now for the shout out. But I will like to see Portland and Phoenix. Now, I wanted to address something that I said on the last episode. I got a lot of Ken. They hit me up, bro. they was following me. Goddamn! I was looking around. I was paranoid. I have a question. I'm gonna ask myself. It says, Nick, why did you say Steph Curry can't get his own shot? I will say this. I want to say this first and foremost. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that.
You know what it was? I sent you all that fucking evidence in the group chat.
You sent me
that's why you dialing back.
That's me all week.
I sent you that real shit. I sent you that real shit. That's why you dialing back, brother.
No,
you should have started with that.
FIFO did send me some homework. I looked at it. I will say that Steph Curry can get his own shot. What I was trying to say is, I was listening to a Bomani Jones podcast the right time. And it was an episode that came out July 23rd. And he had Vinny Goodwin on it. I like their combination and their chemistry. At the 44-minute mark, they had a conversation about superstars and Steph Curry. And basically, they were saying, like, how many superstars are in the league that if just by their peer presence, they can give you're competing for a title. Vinny said it's only about 3 to 5. And he put Steph Curry on that list. Bomani was kind of a little hesitant on that. Because he was saying that my only problem with Steph Curry is him getting his own shot. He can get his own shot if he shoots it from 40 coming across the line and he got sick handles. But if you're going if you're talking about go get a bucket, he said it basically takes a team effort for that to happen, which is what I was trying to elaborate on, but I did a poor job of it on the last episode. So he said and even Vinny kind of went on his side and said, Lillard and Kyrie are different because you could tell them to get a bucket in a way that doesn't involve, he said, no disrespect to Steph, but trickeration. What do y'all feel about those comments?
It's off because I think when you're talking about ball handlers in the NBA, the three best at getting their shot and trickeration and all of that is Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, and Kyrie Irving. I think that they're at different levels of how they do it, because I think the best one-on-one player out that trio is by far Kyrie. You put Kyrie on an island, it don't matter. You put four people on him, he's going to break down three of them and then make the layup on the fourth person. It don't matter with Kyrie. Dame, I think, is the midpoint between the two, because Dame has a lot of point guard in him, but he's also a dominant scorer, and he does have that trickeration. I think that Steph Curry is more of a shooter than anything else, but when we're talking about finishing around the basket, he can get to the basket because you're on skates at 40 feet. Like as soon as Steph Curry looks up off the dribble, dog, you're doing this. So I think that
And also his finishing ability, like that soft touch that we see from 40 feet, he has at the basket. Now, I'm not saying that he's as good as Kyrie finishing around the basket. I think Kyrie under 6 feet or under 6'5" is the best finisher around the basket under the rim.
Really is.
And I think that Steph is better than Dame. I just think Dame is more aggressive attacking the basket than Steph because Steph plays so far from the basket. But either one of those three players is great in their own right, and they can generate their own shot. And all three of those guys, you're pulling hairs at this point. Like we're just nitpicking. All three of those guys are amazing. And for somebody to say that you like Steph Curry doesn't have trickery to take it. What type of basketball? What games are you watching? What games are you watching? And it's also too what the teams are asking you to do. Steph Curry doesn't have to attack the basket like that. Not saying he can't do it. It's just he doesn't have to. So I disagree with you last week. I disagree with you now. And tell Bomani to come holler at me too.
Manny, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally disagree. Steph, still on that Clay topic. To me, Steph is kind of similar to the Zion discussion in the sense that Steph has changed the way conventional basketball has always been played. That when that happens, we don't really know how to evaluate it because we've never seen anything like Steph, right? Just literally the ability to just dominate and score from the perimeter at that clip, at that rate, where you're literally having a guy pull up from 35 feet and just hit all net like it's nothing, like it's just like it is sleep, right? So I think a lot of people, since we don't know how to evaluate it and we've never seen it before, we, like you said, FIFA, we're just nitpicking, like, well, he don't shoot from the left side that good, or he don't drive to his left that, like, we're just trying to nitpick every little thing. The fact of the matter is the dude has changed the way basketball has been played. He's won 3 championships, 2 MVPs, enough said.
Ooh, man, Michael Porter Jr., man, Jesus, FIFA. This dude,
oh, man.
This dude here, man. Hey,
steal of the draft.
Trying to tell y'all.
My God. I think he's 100% right now from the field. I think he like 5 for 5 or 4 for 4 or something like that.
Look, man, I was trying to tell y'all about Michael Porter some years ago in high school. AAU ball. Look, I'm not saying, again, I don't bat 1,000, but goddamn it, I know when I'm right. Michael Porter was one of those guys, man. Like, he's just special. He's offensively just special. And at the size that he's at, with the agility and mobility that he has, he's a matchup nightmare. To me, he's a more perimeter center. And it sounds crazy, but like, The person that I grade him against is Carmelo, but he's less physical than
that's
Carmelo.
All great players, though. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is.
Yeah. I think he's up from the Carmelo.
I hope he stay healthy. I hope his back stay up throughout his career.
100
times them back injuries, man.
FIFA, what's the year they're gonna win a title again?
In 3 to 4.
You said five.
Hey, look, I'm not gonna put a 100% date on it, but the way what they're doing is kind of like what the Warriors did in terms of changing the perception of basketball. You got a 7-foot point guard, literally, and Joker. You got a 7'2" small forward, and then you got like a 6'10" shooting guard. I don't know how you guard that. And it's not like these are all back to the basket mid-range players. All of these guys can play 3-point line in or out. I don't know how you guard that.
Post-pandemic champs.
He's got to work on his defense, though.
Hey, we got a super chat question from 313JMO.
He asked, that's from the Desa D right there. That's Detroit right there. That got to be 313.
Why don't Harden get credit for changing the NBA with the step back or being unguardable like Kyrie?
Because everybody questions his moves. And I don't know if everybody here is aware of Devin in the Lab, a big YouTuber, a basketball player, a coach and all of that. Like, what do they call him now? Trainer, basketball trainer. Dude's amazing. And even Filet, too, on IG. They break down James Harden. James Harden don't be traveling. Like because you get like a half step on the gather. And the reason why he doesn't get a lot of credit is because everybody's always questioning, is it valid or not? With Steph Curry, we know that that 40-foot jump shot is valid.
You can't deny the shot.
You can't deny the shot, but you can question the moves. But to me, I've seen enough breakdown to validate what James Harden is doing to know that ain't nobody doing it like him. If we're talking footwork, nobody in the game today has James Harden's footwork and leading to so many free throw opportunities, leading to so many easy buckets. And then it's not just attacking the basket or in fast break. He does it in half court situation. He does it on step backs. He does a lot of different stuff, but it's questionable. And because it's questionable, people don't want to give it credit or merit.
Is he unguardable?
Yes. Yes.
It's funny. Thanks for the question, but it's funny because that's kind of going back to a conversation we had a week or two ago about James Harden not getting credit for the Rockets' successes, you know, and being looked at with the other upper echelon players, you know, when they do go out and beat great teams and stuff like that. And, you know, so it's interesting that he's saying that. Do you think he changed? Go ahead.
I'll just say, like, I think the biggest measure that we rate top players on is winning, right? Even if you don't win a championship, right? Like, not everybody's going to win. But from the moment that James Harden was traded to the Houston Rockets,
man,
they became a winning franchise. When he was by himself, pre-CP3, with CP3, with Russell, it didn't matter who they put in or out. As long as James Harden's there, they are a playoff team.
Yeah, he's had some big failures. But, you know, he has changed that franchise and turned him into a contender, 100. You know, in the West. So,
what was going to be your question?
Well, I forgot.
you said, how did he change the game?
Oh, yeah, about the step back. So do you think he changed the game with the step back? Would he get credit for that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I don't think we've never seen no bum with a crazy step back like that before. Not like that. I don't think we've never – I mean, people do step backs, but not – yeah, James Harden, he just took that shit to another level where you'd be like, what the – I mean, he's done it in front of players that were much taller than him, and he just stepped back and shoot. Like, this is nothing. Like, dude, how the fuck are you doing?
For me, changing the game, though, means people are trying to emulate and do what you're doing. Nobody's still not trying to be James Harden yet. We still got people trying to do Steph.
Lot. Luka steps back. He does a step back jumper a lot.
But it's different. It's different. And it's already part of Luka's game. I think for people to emulate James Harden, it's the crazy dribbling, and then the crazy euros.
Ginobili kind of did that.
But it wasn't crazy. Like, he introduced it to the NBA. But James Harden took it to a whole – it's not even close no more.
Like, because sometimes with the difference, though, with Ginobili, we never question if he traveled or not. Sometimes 100%. When Harden do it, we'd be like, nigga, is that a travel? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be questioning Harden Euro steps. But when Ginobili was doing it, it was a smooth bank. Like, we never questioned Ginobili's Euro step. It never looked like a travel. But Harden should be looking like that nigga go from New York to L.A. Like,
So, Ken,
changing the game means people are trying to do that. And I still don't see people emulating his game like that. You know what I'm saying?
But no, I think
I haven't.
To me, James Harden is like Big Crit, or not like Big Crit, but what the name means, King Remembered in Time. I think that while James Harden is playing, you're not going to have many players come in and try to do what James Harden does. But I think James Harden will create babies down the road. So, like, when you're, you know, in your 90s and I'm in my 50s, we go see basketball players coming in with a similar skill set. But I don't think we're going to see it while James Harden is playing.
You got another question from the chat?
Oh, no. Yeah, they're just talking about Harden. Good question. Appreciate it.
So I was gonna switch gears a little bit, just and unless y'all got anything else I want to talk about basketball wise. This is the last thing I got for y'all. Well, college sports, we mentioned earlier in the show, we might touch on this. Big announcement: the Big Ten and I believe the Pac-12 have officially canceled their football seasons.
That's crazy.
What's even more crazy is that Nebraska within the Big 12. And other teams possibly in the Big Ten, are maybe looking to go to another conference to play these games.
SEC, so, I think SEC trying to recruit teams because SEC, like, we playing football regardless. Like, that's what it seems like. We was talking about that in the chat earlier. Yeah. It seems like SEC don't care. They like, look, we going to still have some football. You know, Clemson, if anybody want to come down and get down with the SEC, y'all can get down for a year.
Herd immunity.
What's more shocking to you, that the Big Ten canceled their seasons or that teams in the Big Ten are willing to move conferences just to play this year?
Willing to move conferences to play this year? Like, because I think Manny had brought it up in the chat earlier. I didn't know that Big Ten was the moneymaker in college.
Well, they control a lot of, I mean, you ever noticed a lot of the big commissioners that make a lot of big decisions always in the Big Ten?
I thought it was SEC. I thought it was the South.
Well, the SEC from a gameplay perspective, obviously no one's going to ever question that. But from a power perspective, I mean, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Nebraska. I mean, you got just big, powerful.
I still didn't know that though. When you said that, I would have never thought Midwest football would have that power like you mentioned.
Oh yeah. I think it's just a lot of smoke, man. I don't see it happening. I think that once a major conference like the Big Ten says, yeah, we're just not going to play, I just don't see how any of these conferences could validate playing. Right. I mean, and then you also get into like the validity of the season. Like, so you're just going to have one major conference not play, and then you're going to have the SEC, Pac-12, and ACC play. Like, how does that work?
Manny, you got to factor in too. The TV deals, who's going to have the TV rights if Ohio State go down and play LSU? Like, who has the TV rights for that? Like, who gets the money for that? So you're right. This is all smoke and mirrors, man. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if they cancel their season, they're not going to play. We're not going to get a Big Ten or a Pac-12.
When does the NCAA step in when it comes to this COVID shit? Because as you can see, the sports programs ain't going to give a fuck. However, we're still talking about kids at the end of the day playing these games because they, as they would call it, they're amateur athletes, so they're not professional, so we're going to call them kids. They're students. When do they come in? Because Booger McFarland this morning on Get Up, I heard he made a good point as far as, like, how can I feel comfortable letting my son play football when he can't even attend class? He can't even, you know, be a normal college student on campus, yet you still want – like, how much are we really prioritizing these games?
Right.
It's about the money. It's about the money. College football is huge. And what people don't understand is that college football is what funds all of these other collegiate programs. It's what funds the lacrosse team. It's what funds the swimming team, the tennis team. You know what I'm saying? College football is so big and so powerful that it funds literally all of the other sports for these schools. So that's a huge for the Big Ten. Like, people don't like, I think people don't really understand, like, for the Big Ten to say, yo, we just not gonna play, we just not chancing it, that's huge.
Yeah, no, I knew something was coming down the pipeline when they first announced, like, oh, we're not gonna play any other conference, we're just gonna play within. I thought that was surprising because, again, I'm from Cincinnati, so obviously Columbus is like less than 2 hours away, so Ohio State dominates, you know, Big Ten dominates. So for them to cancel, I thought, I was like, oh, okay, I'm expecting more conferences, big Power Five, you know, conferences to come through. But to see that they're not, that's why I'm asking the question. Like, the NCAA has to step in, like, bro, y'all fooling on this shit.
I think eventually they will, because I think last night you saw the reporting that all the big conference commissioners were meeting, and I think there was a big disagreement in the room. I think a lot of commissioners was like, let's not cancel. Instead of playing 12 games, let's play 8 games. You know, instead of playing 8 games, play whatever. I think eventually, like I said, people would, I think if it's not the NCAA, I think all the other conferences will eventually be like, let's follow suit, because it doesn't make any sense. It's one thing when it's the WAC that decides they don't want to play football for the fall, but when it's the Big Ten, like, now you're really getting into a competitive validity. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, that's like if the NBA decided to restart. Oh, we're just going to restart the Western Conference, but the Eastern Conference decided to cancel the season. Like, what? How does that work exactly? Yeah, I just think that eventually, you're right, Nick. I think eventually the adults in the room, the NCAA bigwigs are going to have to step in and say, yeah, nah, cut this out. Ain't no Ohio State playing in the Pac-12. None of this is going to happen. We're just going to have to cancel the season, or at least postpone it.
Yeah, I think they want to stay out of it, but I haven't seen everything that you've seen, Manny, so I'm going to go with what you're saying about, you know, the meeting and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm in total agreement. The fact that they canceled is really interesting to me because football is such a huge moneymaker. I wouldn't imagine that they would give up that type of money.
Especially Columbus, Ohio ain't got shit outside Ohio State. I'm going to let you know right now. I've been there plenty of times. Yeah. It is a football school.
Point blank. Ann Arbor, same thing. Like, ain't shit to do out there. Like,
yeah. Theo Holmes sent in a super chat and he asked, he said the NCAA had months to figure this out. And he asked, is the NFL to follow? The answer is a resounding.
The NFL might be salivating right now because they talking about we ain't got to compete with college football. Mm-hmm. That means the schedule's wide open. We can play games.
They don't anyway, though, because college play on Saturdays.
No, that's what I'm saying, but they can play football on Saturdays now.
Well, and I saw a headline that said the NFL have been in discussion about playing on Saturdays this year.
Yeah, I think the NFL is happy from the perspective of trying to play on Saturdays, but I think this hurts the NFL too, because the NFL draft is a big component of the NFL Correct. Season. And now you don't have these players to evaluate. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, by the time the NFL draft rolls around next April, you're going to have some of these college kids that haven't played in a year, literally a year. So you don't even know what shape they're in.
No, 100%. But I think that this is an opportunity for the NFL to capitalize.
They can come in like Zion, huh?
Shut up. I think what the NFL can do, right? Because obviously there's going to be kids that are going to be eligible to get into the draft. I think the NFL can expand the combine for this year and actually run like 7-on-7s, like to kind of expose true. And give these
That's
kids.
That's too risky at that point, right?
How is it too risky?
Injury, Corona still.
Hold on. We're not talking like full. The NFL only plays full contact on the game day. They like I'm not talking about like full pass.
We got to throw out. We got to throw out normal convention because we're in times that we're not even. You can't play for that shit.
But listen to what I'm saying, Nick. Like already, the NFL does not play full contact until the game day. Right. So if they come in and expand the combine for 7-on-7, if it's any contact, it's going to be very light contact, if not kind of touch football. And what I'm saying is they already go in and there's cameras everywhere. There's multiple days of the NFL combine. But what we can see is competitive combine, not just guys in shorts just throwing the ball to this other guy. We could see DBs versus wide receivers with an actual quarterback actually trying to score points.
That's a little dangerous though, Fief, because you got to think about it. These dudes are not on NFL contracts, so you're asking these dudes to go out there and play NFL competitive game. What if you know Dylan Moses goes out there and trying to make a tackle, he hurts his knee. Now you got this dude who's out of college, doesn't have an NFL contract, hurts himself at the combine. Like that's just a lot. I mean,
here's the thing. But the NFL can offer combine contracts, and you can take it if you want. At the end of the day, it's up to that player. Yeah. And I think that when it comes to professional sports, you have to make a business decision. And if the NFL says, hey, we got a combine contract that will insure you. And a lot of these college players already have insurance. So if they do get hurt, they'll get compensated somehow, some way. Not a major NFL level contract, but you won't be for naught. You know what I'm saying? You will have some coins in your pocket, in your piggy bank. And all I'm saying is that this is an opportunity. I don't know how it's going to look. I'm not saying that it's not risky. Everything that any professional sport does now is risky. But the main component that I'm trying to come across is that this is an opportunity. COVID is an opportunity for a lot of entities, a lot of business entities. We've seen Amazon go up. We've seen Kodak stock go crazy because now they're going to be doing pharmaceuticals.
They're about to go to jail.
Who?
Kodak. All of them.
Okay.
Every last one of them. Trump. Boy.
Facts. Facts.
Either way. They all going to jail.
Of course. But what I'm saying is COVID provides an opportunity. And if
to
that,
go to jail.
COVID provides an opportunity.
Hey, all I'm saying, look.
That's the quote of the podcast. COVID provides an opportunity.
It does.
Dot, dot, dot.
Even for the Dead End brand, our podcast is up. What is it, Ken? It was like 30-some-odd% year over year. You know, so
you know what? You know what? They're associated with COVID, people. What's your point? What's your point? Get to it.
The only point is that the NFL can capitalize. They can capitalize. How they'll do it, if they do it, I don't know. But it is a big question mark surrounding the combine. And what do these players look like? Like, you, to your point, Manny, are they going to be out of shape? Are they going to be in shape? Are they ready to play NFL football after a whole year off? It's a lot of questions.
I think with the NCAA, they should do an injunction with the NFL and be like, all right, for those of you who want to go to the draft, we're not like, we'll do the regular stuff that we have been doing, obviously with more precaution because of what we're going through. I'm just saying, like, if you're a top 15 pick, first round pick or whatever, you can, and you feel like you'll still be in that position, you can go to the draft. If you don't feel like that, we'll consider this year a red shirt. If we don't have any, you know, football at all, period, you can come back next year and we can start, we can do that from there. To me, that's just the even playing field as far as it goes with your point, as far as business decision. If I want to take the risk and go to the draft now with how I played from last season, I'll do that. But if I don't, I can come back next year.
What does that do for incoming freshmen, though, and the scholarships for those guys? Because there's not going to be enough scholarships when you think about it that way. Because you got your incoming freshman class.
That's true.
And supposedly the outgoing senior class, but if these guys are allowed to stay, it kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place as far as recruiting goes. So
that's going to be a sacrifice going to have to be made regardless. I'm just trying to make it more fair for these players now. Because they were supposed to get generational money this upcoming year, and they're not, and they're being denied that.
But here's the thing. This is the reason why I said let's stay here, is because as a football player, right? Like I think we all understand that injury is a big part of the game. And do you want to subject your body to another year of amateurism or take your chances as a professional because you know that you're going to get compensated to a degree?
But that's why I'm putting that option for you. Do you want to go to the draft? You can. Whatever game tape you want to bring up, because you got to be a junior anyway. So you got some game film as far as whoever's going to come out the draft. So whatever game tape you want to put up in front of these GMs and executives and head coaches, you go ahead. But if you don't, you can come back.
You know what? This is the perfect time for the NCAA to pay their players.
That's damn sure ain't happening in a pandemic.
Right.
They already losing money. They ain't trying to give it away.
But I think that if you want to keep some of the stars from going to the NFL without a year of game tape and all of that, I think this
might be an opportunity. They got freshmen, like Shelton said. They got freshmen. They'll just roll them out.
And football has the age requirements to 2 years out of high school. So I don't think they're worried about that necessarily. I think it applies more to basketball. For sure, because I think if now with the cancellation of the Big Ten, when you cancel fall sports, that also affects basketball. So now you got a situation where you got these freshmen coming into Duke. They're like, I'm not sitting around here for 6 months waiting for something to happen at Duke. I'm going to just go peace out. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you see like the James Wiseman situation. That man said, I play like two games and I'm out. He's still going to be a top three pick. Basketball is different, so it doesn't matter for them as much.
It's going to be interesting, It's interesting.
Yep. Well, I think once again, this has been a very lively show. So thank you, Manny, for coming on tonight, man, and kicking it with us for
Appreciate you, man.
Sure, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me.
I'm jealous of that sunshine in the background, Manny. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah. Hey, man, the West Coast is where it's at, man. Y'all need to upgrade, man. Shout out to ATL.
100%.
All right. Well, if you guys like what you heard from Manny tonight, you guys can catch him every week. Any Given Sunday is the name of the podcast, and it's available everywhere on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, like the whole nine. So. Yeah, it's out there. And where can they, well, one more time for any new viewers, where can they find you at online, Manny?
So, like Ken said, podcast is available anywhere on Twitter at AGS Pod, on Instagram, AGS Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at The Manuel Brown, Instagram, The Manuel Brown, Facebook, Manuel Brown, Snapchat, Manny Bro 15. I'm out there, man. Just follow me, find me, Google me. I'm out there.
Cool. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.